Bo Hess.
And now, the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Mass.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Hey, guys. So one of the things here I find really interesting about the whole Brady TB12 thing is that his brand is, by and large, based on his health, his conditioning, and the way he eats. Now, he's getting to an age, you know, 40, obviously not as old as 50, 60, 70, but he's getting at an age where, you know, things are going to happen to his body. What if he gets a cancer, you know, a Parkinson's disease, something like that, or some sort of onset disease? Does that hurt his brand? You know, what happens there?
Oh, yeah, it's a huge hit, but let's not, you know, we don't want to get morbid or anything. Like, no one wishes that on, no, obviously no one wishes it on the guy, or I don't even want to talk about it. Like, but yes, but I think any sort of injury, football or not, if he had lost his job, if he's like, again, as we discussed earlier, if Belichick had been allowed to make the call and they stick with Garoppolo and Brady moves on, a massive hit to Tom V. Time, as the, you know, the documentary is called, and the whole TB12 method, the whole basis of the method is, look at what it's done for me. Don't you think he loses some sales punch if he loses his job to a younger model?
Oh, totally. I mean, the whole thing is built on that. I think that Garoppolo was the genesis of TB12. I know he's been with Guerrero longer than that. But how long, I mean, have we ever actually looked at when all this stuff started? Like, really, the marketing and the hype of the TB12 machine. Have we ever actually found...
Yes, according to this, Wickersham in the story, it was 2014.
Okay, so that's Garoppolo.
Yes.
Right? I mean...
And that's also when, I believe, I mean, I don't have it in front of me, there was a time that Guerrero was allowed into all the meetings to look at medical records and weigh in on other players and all of that, and then Bill revoked that. He realized soon that it was a mistake, because Guerrero, according to the story, started telling players, they're giving you bad advice, you should come to me, not them, and then Bill said, whoa. And that was the first time they pulled Guerrero back in 2014. So they pulled Guerrero back, they signed Jimmy Garoppolo, draft Jimmy Garoppolo, Bill at the draft says, we all know Tom's age and contract situation. It's better to be a year early than a year late at that position.
Right, right.
And that's when TB12 really ramped, is that year.
So it is. Again, this all goes back to Jimmy G.
Here's Dave in the car. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, before I get to that real quick, Maz, you're Pete Carroll is spot on. You need to do like an entire show as Pete Carroll. But Brady's legacy, I mean, again, for me, it's definitely, I like him less. Obviously, I still love the guy, but I definitely love him a little bit less. And it all goes, for me, it started with Deflategate. Right after Deflategate, I mean, obviously something was going on there. We all know that. And, you know, right from that, you know, I started to lose a little bit of credibility with the guy, especially on something like that, where in the end, it turns out that they basically gained no competitive advantage, but they were taking errors out of the ball anyway for whatever reasons. You know, all the way now to this whole TB12 thing and his, you know, it's like, again, it's kind of quackery. And then he's getting involved with that Tony Robbins guy and, you know, all this other nonsense. I'd rather have him just sell shoes or open like a gym or do something different than this thing. Because, again, all the things that could go wrong where he makes no money on this TB12 method or that no one buys into it, you know, so it can't really just be a money issue either, because it could totally just blow up in his face.
So I'm with you on everything except for the Deflategate. I blame Bill and the team for that, not Brady. Of course they were doing it. Of course he was doing it. It was important to Brady and all of that. But all the team had to do was say, yeah, these knuckleheads were doing it. We didn't tell them to do it, but they were doing it, and it's an equipment violation. And, you know, that's all. And instead, it, you know, I think largely because of the way you fought it, turned into what it turned into. And Brady was caught in the middle of it. They just dropped it in his lap. I don't blame Brady for that one bit.
Okay, but how about how Brady handled it? In other words, what about the press conference where, have you done anything wrong? I don't believe so.
Doesn't bother me.
Okay, what about the destroying of the phone?
He was trying to protect himself. He was running scared.
Well, yeah, I still think, though, but do you think it damaged his image?
Yes, it did. Yes. Well, destroying his phone everywhere but here damaged his image for sure. But he didn't come out with the Wells report in context. He didn't do any of this nonsense.
No, No. He didn't. He didn't do that.
I've never heard him do. Give me the ideal gas law. But, I've never heard him say that.
Okay, but destroying the phone hurt him.
Yeah, nationally, not locally.
No, right. Well, that's true. Right. That's true. I mean, I just...
Locally, so Deflategate, so that's rare. I think for someone to like him less because of Deflategate in Boston is rare. What I find interesting is that in Boston among Patriots fans, his marketing and the branding has started to elicit eye rolls and shrugs and sort of sounds of, like, you see that thing yesterday on Facebook, and a lot of Patriots fans went, blech.
There's a warrior spirit about me. Oh, my God. You've got to be kidding. Like, it sounds like Bill Simmons talking about himself, for crying out loud.
Kevin in New Hampshire. Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, he sounded
like Kevin!
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Earlier in the show, you talked about Kraft in his business acumen for letting letting Belichick pass on Jimmy G there. And, you know, it reminded me of a whole mess of sage advice I kept getting from business people. You remember the Big Dig project in Massachusetts?
Yes, Kevin, I do.
You going south?
Yes, get to your point, please.
Okay. They said that, you know, when it started going south, there was these internal memos that just kept saying how it was so important to milk the cow as long as it was alive. You know, they weren't going to leave the Big Dig until they got snapped everything out of Boston.
So you're saying Kraft is milking the cow with Brady?
I think he is, yeah.
Okay, well, that's bad. But that's a bad example. The Big Dig, they're trying to milk the public sector and just get every, because they don't have a business. It's just a project, so they're trying to milk it. That's different than having a long-term business and doing what's in the best long-term interest of your franchise and doing things that are right for the team, not an individual, and not putting any one person above the team or the organization and making cold, hard decisions that are, like, not even Kraft would tell you that letting Garoppolo go was a good business decision. It was more emotional. It's more, and Kraft would tell you. I bet he would admit that's also the fan in me, and also personal loyalty. You know, a good businessman doesn't let personal loyalty get in the way of a smart, hard business decision. He makes a smart, hard business decision. So no, not even Kraft would tell you that it was a good business decision.
I mean, it really is his conscience talking. I mean, that's what it is. And I'm not telling him he's necessarily wrong for that. I would have done it the other way. I would have kept Garoppolo. And again, I don't even mean trade Brady. But it was his conscience talking about his whole past and his history with Brady.
Here's John in Boston with a football thought. Hi, John.
Hi. I'm actually going to change it and stay on topic with what you guys are talking about. See, Michael, you and Maz, you know, you guys in radio talk sports are much different than us as fans. And here in Boston, we love our superstars. You know, and the reason why I think when it comes to Brady branding and marketing himself, the reason why people are kind of rolling their eyes, kind of liking him a lot less, is because he's a late donor when it comes to this. If he was doing this stuff in the beginning, like even Larry Bird was in big-time commercials and they had videos out, but all that started early on. It looked like Brady's doing this late in the game.
So you're saying
he's kind of like the nerd in high school that turned into the cool guy all of a sudden.
Or he's changed, you know? Like, he's changed. He's not the guy that he was. And we don't like that. Is that part of it?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. Again, but if he had just been, to Murray's point, if he had just been pitching us cleats and pizza and beers and, you know, whatever, I don't think that. Like, how do you begrudge a guy for making a buck?
Yeah, and I never will. Just real quick, it's the lack of relatability of what he's trying to shove down everybody's throat. That's what I find irksome.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
And I think being an underdog helps us out a lot because then, and then back in our minds, we're like, look, everyone expects us to lose. Let's go out there and shock the world. And I think that's what you see. Our quarterback play, our defense play, all around play on the field is guys really don't have nothing to lose. So they giving it all they got, going out there, busting their butt every play. And that's all I can ask for.
This one, was of all the surprising Patriots playoff defeats, Jets at home in 2010. What else was a surprise? A home AFC title game loss to the Ravens? Whatever year that was, I called it. I picked that game.
Oh, that wasn't that surprising. The stunner was the Jets in 2010.
The Jets.
Definitely. I mean, at home in the division round.
Hello. This might be the biggest, though. This would be a bigger one. Don't you think? A bigger upset than that Jets game?
Yeah, because those Jets actually, on defense especially, had a lot of talent.
But in hindsight, you know, but we say that in hindsight. In real time, they just beat them 45-3.
I'll tell you, though, I remember sitting with, and I'm not saying I expected the Patriots to lose the game. I just remember sitting in a bar thinking, this is going to be a game. It's not going to be a run over like the last one was.
Right, because they upset the Colts the week before, right? Or am I thinking the year before? Either way, they came in here, and I was like, ugh, I don't know. I thought the Pats would win, but I thought it would be a tight game. That, That was bad. This, if they lost to this team, I think you could make the argument. If Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck weren't hurt this year, this team wouldn't even be in the playoffs. They have no business being there.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. If Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson were healthy, we wouldn't see anything of the Titans. No way.
Especially Watson. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, that thing was clearly headed in a certain direction. Like the Luck thing, he never even got out there, right? But the Watson thing, I mean, Tennessee got lucky this year. They were the best of a bad division.
Mariota regressed. The only guy that had more picks than him was DeShone Kizer. He sucked this year.
Second best.
Huh?
Sorry, they were in the same division as Jacksonville, right?
Yes. Oh,
so yeah. I said they were the best bad division and second best.
Okay. So anyway, if you want to weigh in on the game, by all means, you can. Rob is in the recliner, though. He wants to talk about Tom Brady. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. For the first time in a long time, I've actually agreed with a lot of what every one of you said. I love Brady more than ever on the field. I feel the same about him as a person. I don't think there's anything like nefarious about what he does. He's just more of a follower than a leader. But I definitely, as a person, who would you rather hang out with or get stuck with in a bar? Or a party, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady?
So I think that's a good way to put it. And that's the way Manning markets himself and carries himself. I have no idea what he is like as a real person. None.
But basing it on how they carry themselves in terms of marketing, I don't think that Peyton Manning is going to look at you cross-eyed if you ordered fries and four beers. You know what I mean? Like Brady would be like, would you really want to put that in your body? And I just, shut up. Enough. You're great. You're the best I've ever seen. But please, don't make me feel bad for wanting 17 beers on the weekend. Like, that I find annoying.
Sanctimonious. Right? Again, holier than thou. The whole thing, it does, it just reeks. Nobody can tolerate that stuff.
We have got Mike in Vermont on the same topic. Hi, Michael.
Hey, good show, guys. I don't agree with anything you guys are saying. Brady is the best of all time. That's already a proven fact, right?
Yes.
Agreed?
Yes.
All right, so he's going to be a little weird. That's why you got a guru. That's why he's the greatest of all time. I mean, cut him some slack. He's been on the team 18 years, takes pay cuts, renegotiates, has nobody to throw to half the time except Gronk, which is a huge deal. Montana had Rice. Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison.
No.
But
Mike, what you're saying is to be that accomplished and that huge, you've got to be a little weird, a little tapped.
Yeah, he's weird.
Okay, is that it? Do we agree with that? Could you be Tom Brady and be normal?
I mean, is Joe Montana pretty normal?
I feel like it.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, he sells avocados. I don't know how normal that is.
I think he sells avocados because he has to, because I don't think he has a ton of money left.
But in terms of as a guy, he never struck me as being eccentric in any way.
Well, and not even eccentric is the wrong word. Like,
different.
There's something cultish coming on with Brady that's a little, that's weird. You know, Tom Cruise is the good analogy. You know, like, what do you got going on?
See,
what's that about?
Yeah, I don't think it's a prerequisite, right? Like, I don't think you have to be weird to be great. But I do think it's not uncommon. Does that make sense?
The thing is, he didn't used to be weird. I mean, he didn't used to be weird like this. He didn't. It's come on later on in his life. He's changed. He has.
So, I don't know. Maybe this is like the deep insecurity coming out because of Garoppolo.
But he has always wanted the star thing. He's always wanted it. Just look at his girl. He's never dated the girl next door.
Well, that's what did I say that to you once? Like, it's just a history of starlets.
Yes, correct.
One after the next.
Yes.
And with all due respect to Giselle and Bridget and Tara Reid and whoever else, there are lots of beautiful women in the world that aren't in the movies. So why does it always have to be a movie star?
What can I tell you?
Or someone who lives a very public life. Right? Like, it's everyone's got to know it.
So it's not. So his transformation's not totally out of nowhere. I think this is sort of always what he's wanted, to be an international superstar. Like, I guess who doesn't?
But the transition to self-important, I can save you and the world. Just follow my lead and eat this way and train this way. Like, that is, I don't know how anyone can relate to that unless you're like one of those type of kooks that buys into that kind of thing.
Tom in the car, what do you got for us today?
I got a couple of things here, guys. Just two real quick. One, Brady is absolutely like LeBron. Can't stand him. Admittedly, I'm a Bills fan. And the other thing I just want to get your thoughts on, if Garoppolo didn't get hurt and finished out those four games and played like he was playing, do you think Kraft would have let him get traded?
Yes. Yep, I do.
Yeah, see, I think that the only chance of Garoppolo's Garoppolo's stock was only going to go down if he continued to play. That first half against Miami was eye-popping. I'm sorry. Like, that's the one that just went, holy smokes, what do we got here? I mean, even Zoe said it, if you remember the broadcast.
We got ourselves a quarterback.
I mean, they you know, that was the, you know, he was good in Arizona. I'm not trying to dismiss that, but that first half against Miami was seamless. It was seamless.
Why is Tom Brady still playing? Murray, why is Tom Brady still playing?
I think it's...
And why does he want to play to... Why does Tom Brady want to play to 45?
Because he wants to be a walking billboard for his brand. See? I'm living proof.
Is that the number one reason?
No. Football and winning and being around his teammates and getting more championships. I force myself to
Do you think being around his teammates is on the list?
I think it is, yeah.
Not anymore.
I don't.
At one point it might have been, but not anymore.
Not anymore.
He's so much bigger than all of them now. It's like he's his own corporation.
Do you hangs out with them?
No. God, no. Please. Maybe the Derby, a couple of times he invites a couple of them onto the plane with him.
They're also half his age. You know, yes, he's boys with Amendola and
Edelman.
And Edelman. Those guys were smart enough to go to Guerrero to help get in the circle, right? And so, like, they train together. And you're right, they do the Derby. You're right. So they go to the Derby. But I don't know.
I don't think it's like it used to be, though. Those offensive linemen used to love him.
Oh, yeah.
They used to love him. You don't really hear any of that anymore.
And again, part of this isn't his fault. He's got three kids, and he's twice the age of those kids. So what? I wouldn't hang out with him either. You know, it's like, I mean, I'm just saying that. It's like, back then with those, he was a contemporary. He was of the same age, and he didn't have kids. And so, yeah, you go to the Outlaw Barbecue with the offensive line, and, you know, but now he's twice their age in some cases, and has three kids. So, I don't think he does it for the teammates anymore. So why does Tom Brady do it? Obviously, the football and the winning is big for him. But the brand and the springboard of continuing to play and having this be a walking billboard for his business is big. It's big. I don't know if it's as important as football, but it feels like it's getting there.
I mean, maybe it's the same thing. Maybe I'm saying the same thing, but I think he's intent now on disproving Belichick.
That's good for you too, because hate can be revenge can be a powerful motivator.
I mean, and again, so maybe TB12's tied into that. This guy said, "I was done. I committed to this." And here you go, Bill. My method against yours. Let's go. Which one works? Like, that's the way, on some level, that's the way this thing feels. Like, you drafted the guy and I outlived him. I beat you, Bill. That's who I beat. I beat you.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
How long do you think Bill Belichick has left in New England?
Boy, I'd say at least 5 years. I mean, he certainly doesn't look like he's lost any passion for the job. Still loves it, still loves competing at this level and working with the players. And, you know, I don't see him, wearing out or getting, tired with the job. So I think as long as that passion is still there, he wants. I know he said in the past that he doesn't want to be, Marv Levy's age, still coaching football games, but I certainly haven't seen the passion wane at all in him. So I think, 5 years would be, sounds like a good number to me.
If Bill's really willing to commit 5 years, he's going to be for at least 5 years, and then I don't need to trade him. Then I'll let him stay. I'm not going to ship him out for two firsts and 2 seconds and $9 million. But 5 years, I want, and it really, if it's even four, I'll take it. But if he's half in, half out, or he's been damaged by this thing, and he's not as committed as he used to be, or he's going to pull dink moves like the Garoppolo move and get much less than he could get for whatever reason, and he doesn't want in, then I would absolutely let him go to the Giants and take some draft picks.
I'll take 3 years. Three's enough for me. Because I think that gives him enough. Now, look, he's got a hit on the pick probably ASAP, like this spring, but it gives him enough time to draft the court. With Garoppolo, he was ready in the third year, right? He was ready in the third year. So if he nails the pick this spring, in 3 years, the guy conceivably could be a starter, whoever he is.
Okay, and so, but then I want him coaching him a year or two, too, now.
Okay, so I say minimum a year. Like, give me 1 year with the guy, let's see what it looks like, and okay, then if you know he can play and build system, now you find the replacement, here you go.
So you need three? I need four. If it's less than four, I'm going to ship his ass out of here for three first-round picks. I'll drive him to the airport. I'm joking. That's what I want. And I think people, I'm big on this thing of if both coordinators leave. Like, I know they've replaced a lot of coordinators in the past. But with the exception of one time, it was only one guy on offense or one guy on defense at a time. And he could, you know, let the other half of the team is still with this guy, and I'm just grooming the guy on the other side. It's one at a time. It's not at the both, you know, both at the exact same time. I mean, and then if Casario goes, and on top of it all, they have to draft the next quarterback and start that's just a lot. It's just a lot. And can Bill do it and pull it off? Sure, of course. But to me, it's not just like Bill O'Brien leaves, you put Josh McDaniels back in there. Like, what kind of adjustment is that? That's easy. That doesn't take anything. Or who did Matt Patricia replace?
Pease, wasn't it?
Was it Dean Pease? You know, to Matt Patricia. Patricia, who had been with the team since, I can't remember, since the early 2000s. You know, he'd been here 4 or 5 years. I mean, I don't know. That is something. But there's been times here where Bill didn't even name the person as the coordinator. When Bill O'Brien took over for Josh, wasn't that first year no technical offensive coordinator?
I think that's right. That's the way I remember it.
It was titleless, you know? So it's like, don't tell me Bill wasn't heavily involved in that. He didn't even give Bill O'Brien the title. So Bill was the de facto offensive coordinator that year, in, you know, whatever year that was, 09. So it's like, now he has to do that and have the guy on defense and the personnel guy. And in the midst of it, they have to draft the next guy and start developing like they did Garoppolo. That is a ton on his plate. And there's no one I'd rather have do it, obviously, than Belichick. So if he's committed like that, if it's 5 years at least, then fine. No trade. Nate in Maine, back to Tom Brady, though. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Felger. Maz. About Brady, I honestly believe that he is the greatest of all time. My biggest thing, though, with Brady is he's given so much to New England and all of us fans is that, I mean, who cares if he's in this TB12 thing? I mean, I suck down cheeseburgers every day. I mean, I drink 20 beers a day. Like, I love drinking, eating bad food, but I mean, hey, if Brady still hangs the banner up at Gillette Stadium, I'm all for it.
God bless. Vote at the poll at the Felger and Maz page on Twitter, Nate. So 15 to 20 beers a day, is that a real number?
I'd probably say about 12. Depends on the day. If I have my daughter that day, yeah, I'm drinking pretty heavy. I mean, after she goes home, but...
Do you mind if I ask how much you weigh? Is that too personal a question?
No, I weigh about 230.
That's pretty
tall. How tall are you?
6'5".
You don't. You're 5'7". Would you stop? You can't drink 12 beers a day and be anything less than just a whale. It's impossible.
I mean, you could.
It's the most fattening. It's the worst thing you put in your body in terms of weight.
You could drink 12 a day and not be a drunk, right? If you just spread them out.
That's not what I'm asking him. I don't care about that.
Well, I'm just asking. I'm just saying, like, in theory, you start drinking at 9 a.m. You have one every hour. You're not bombed by 9 o'clock, right? You can drink one an hour.
Can you be a 12 beer a day guy and not be an alcoholic? Let's consider that for a second.
No,
I think you're, you know.
That's a 12 is a big number.
That's a solid number.
I say yes.
Unless
you spread them out.
Unless you are 6'7", 330 pounds, and that doesn't even leave a dent.
Andre the Giant.
Yeah. Right there.
Drinking 48 beers in the lobby of a hotel.
There's a great story. A guy I know, big fella, you know, has some beers at dinner and gets pulled over. And the cop asks him, how many beers, you know, have you been drinking? He says, yes. And the guy says, how many? He's like, 7 or 8 beers. And the cop's like, what? You know, like, get over here. And he blew a nothing. Because he's like, yeah, I can drink 7 or 8 beers. There's nothing.
Because I'm 400 pounds.
Doesn't leave a dent. There's zero impact on there. So, whatever. So that guy's still obviously not a purveyor of the TB12 method.
I'm telling you, if you spread them out, you could drink 12. I bet you I could.
Matthew in Framingham, what do you got, Matthew?
Tried it over the weekend.
If you even think out the thought to even do that, you're an alcoholic, in my opinion.
Thank you.
But I basically just want to say how I think right now we're all being played as puppets. What this is all about is that Garoppolo's gone. Now, we got Brady, and honestly, over these last couple of years, you know, with all the magic beans and the seminars, I think he's a clown. But at the same time, you know, I love him like my brother, who's a D-bag. You know, he's a legend, and I'll always love Brady. But he has no fault in Garoppolo leaving because he's competitive, and that's what gets him 5 Super Bowls. And then you have Belichick, egregiously only getting the second round pick. He has a fraction of the blame for, you know, for Jimmy leaving, but I would never, all this talk about trading him, all that, I wouldn't take 4 first-round picks for Belichick. I think that's, you know, We're all trashing Brady and Belichick, and nobody's talking about Kraft, the puppet master in the back, who is the 99% blame reason that we lost Jimmy Garoppolo, and we're going to suck in 4 years.
So Maz agrees with that part about Kraft.
So, well, yeah, you asked me earlier, who will Patriots fans blame? And I say Kraft, because he's first of all, he's the easiest to blame, right? Because he's not directly, I mean, connected to the football operation on Sundays the way everybody watches it on their TV. So he's the easiest guy to vent your anger toward. And then ultimately, if, you know, he is the one who sort of ultimately pulled the plug on Belichick or took away his options, if that's the way the whole thing went down. So I mean, to me, I just thought you'd hear from more people like that. I think people will blame Kraft before they blame Bill or Tom because they love him too much.
So there is something about Brady, though. He's not like a Boston kind of guy. He's not, you know, when
not
you,
even close. When he's you put West
up,
Coast.
And when you put up some of the superstars against him, like, you know, even, but I mean, even someone doesn't have to be here. Like Ortiz felt more like our speed, and, you know, because maybe he was more real. Like I think I can boil it down like that. Ortiz was more real, and Bird was who he was. And, you know, these guys, and that's, you know, Brady's comps are just the stars of the stars. And I think that made him more relatable, whether they were Boston-like or not. I mean, Bird was an Indiana hick, and Ortiz is Dominican. But
they were authentic.
They were real. They were authentic, and they had an edge. And so those are our... Brady with the Deepak Chopra stuff and this nonsense is not really our speed. I'm sorry, it's not.
There's a warrior spirit about me. Like, holy crap, that line, really. Like, you know, try that one on your family at the next holiday party. Walk and sit down at the dining room table, someone saying grace. Go ahead with a, there's a warrior spirit about me.
What, do you got an opiate problem now? Huh? What the hell is wrong with you?
They'll look at you like, what the hell happened to you? Go lock him in the basement so we can have dinner and no one will bother us. Like, that line is, holy crap, what a line.
Carol in the car. Hi, Carol.
How are you?
Good. How are you? What do you got for us today?
Good. Hey, a couple of things. I drank 12 beers once when I was in college. We went beer golfing, so that's one.
Yeah, how did that go?
Not so great, honestly. Maz, I called last week, and we talked about the Kansas City Chiefs, and I didn't get a chance to call on Monday, so I apologize if you've already spoken about this, and I was working, so I couldn't listen. Just wanted to get your thoughts on how that team did on their game Saturday.
They wet themselves, Carol, is what they did.
They did.
Yeah, totally.
They really did. Awful, right? Smith and Andy Reid. Just awful. They should have killed that team.
Oh, listen. Yeah, go ahead.
And then last, who is the one person we should be concerned about, if any, with the Titans? Is it Delanie Walker? Anybody or nobody?
I think it's Walker.
Yeah,
yes, too.
Yeah, I think it's your bus driver. The only chance you lose that game is if the bus breaks down and you don't make it to the stadium. I mean, honestly.
I just think in any key situation, Walker's going to be the guy that Mariota's looking for. Other than that, where's he going
to
go?
No, the only guy, Mariota's the guy to worry about.
Because of the running.
I mean, and worry is the wrong word. No, but there's only one guy that can beat you. It's because, yes, he just catches fire with his legs, with his arm, and he lights you up. I mean, because... That's possible. I mean, your defense isn't great. And if another quarterback just gets white hot and he starts scoring touchdowns, and I'm not telling you that's happening, but, like, is there one defensive player? I mean, and if there is one defensive player, I'm not even worried about it because you can gang up on him and shut him down. I'm not worried, you know. Their defense is okay.
I mean, maybe Logan Ryan because he can tell them things schematically, but he was downgraded on their injury report today. He's now limited, so he's dealing with something.
Here's the issue. If you're all messed up because of this stuff, the Brady stuff and the Garoppolo stuff, and you're all messed up, and the coaches have one foot out the door, and everyone's pissed at each other, and you just don't have a good day, that's it. That's the only way you're losing, or if your bus breaks down.
I just don't see how Tennessee is going to be able to throw the ball in this game. Where's it going?
It's not. It's going nowhere. So, right. I mean, you have to cover one guy.
Right. So, again, they have one guy who I think that, you know, you'd go to on third down. Your strength of your defense, in theory, is your secondary.
Eric Decker
used to eat this team alive, but he's like a shell of himself.
If
Eric Decker beat you this game, you suck.
Yeah. I mean, he had the touchdown, but that was a good throw. And he also had a drop earlier in that game. Remember that?
Yeah.
What a horrible drop that was. And I think Gilmore should be able to take Decker out, shouldn't he?
You're going to win by 27 points. This could be a game not even worth discussing.
I can't see how Tennessee throws the ball.
Mike in Cambridge on Brady's branding and marketing. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. You're both married, right?
So yes.
You can probably relate to this.
you kind of do what your wives tell you to do, right? So this whole branding crap with Brady didn't start until he got married. He's just doing what Giselle's telling him to do.
So it's always convenient to blame the wife. It's a tried and true method. Old standby. Do we buy that? Do we blame the wife?
No, I think it's the other wife, Alex Guerrero, that's brainwashed him.
Nice.
I mean, she's a factor, right?
She's a factor.
She's got to be a factor.
She's a factor, but I think this is what Brady wants.
I mean, because they, you know, both of their careers, at least Brady's second one and hers, are built on image and looks and body shape and all that. So they got to be aligned some way in there.
So she's got a little bit of it, but no, I think this is what he wants. I think this is his calling, and it's what he feels.
I always thought Super G was a little overrated. Just my two sons.
Jack in Amesbury, go ahead, Jack.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a scenario I want to throw by you guys, and obviously it can't happen because Garoppolo's gone now. But way back 18 years ago when Bledsoe got knocked out of the game and Brady kind of stepped in, and basically Bledsoe never saw his starting role back except for that one playoff game against Pittsburgh. What do you think would have happened if, say, week 15 or something where Brady got knocked out of the game and was out for a couple of games. Garoppolo came in, played great for two games. Would that have been Belichick's reason or out to say that he wanted Garoppolo to be back to be, you know, his new starting quarterback?
Jack, I think he wanted Garoppolo without that scenario. Belichick wanted to keep Garoppolo, as Maz has said 1,000 times.
Until I turn blue in the face.
Until your face turns blue. So he didn't need, Belichick didn't need Garoppolo to be Jeff Hostetler. Belichick was already sold, and he wanted to keep Garoppolo, so that he didn't even need that scenario. I think the question would be, let's say Garoppolo pulled the Jeff Hostetler, came in, took over for an injured Brady, won a Super Bowl. Would Kraft still err on the side of Brady?
Ooh.
And I think yes.
Even if he
it
came
played
in
out
and,
like that?
If yep. he came in and won a Super Bowl?
Personal loyalty, business relationship, the whole thing. Yep.
Mm. Oh, I don't know. That one gets a lot tougher then.
Kraft was married to Tommy Brady, and that's why Tommy Brady's still here.
Well, that part of it is hard to debate now.
Final word comes right next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do. Like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair
Tire.
Nobody,
Jimmy.
Nobody. So Maz had some fun at the expense of the new trailer of Tom vs. Time, the documentary series. It's going to be premiering sometime in the next few weeks on Facebook, all about Tom Brady and how he is prepared as a 40-year-old quarterback to get prepared for and through the 2017 season.
There's a warrior spirit about me.
Ugh. See, again, that response.
Okay, Mike, I'm a guy.
It's just so over the top. There's a warrior spirit about me.
Like 10 years ago, he did a 60 Minutes thing with Steve Croft, where it was, you know, they've won a few championships right now, and at the end of it, Steve Croft asked Brady, you know, what's been your favorite championship? And he goes, the next one. And for years, I was like, yeah, Tom, that's the stuff. Now, I hear this, and I saw this thing yesterday. It's like, oh, geez, can you please... Enough with this nonsense.
I mean, that one line is just like, that is damaging. There's a warrior spirit about me. If you compete against me, you'd better be prepared to give up your life because I'm ready to give up mine.
Let me show you the way that chia seeds can add to your life.
What's this, freaking Rambo? It's Rambo. He is.
Hey, John, Stempo, we'll come back and get you.
Murdoch, I'm coming to get you.
It's very overdramatic.
Oh, God, it's insane. It's just such bull crap. Like, please spare me. There's a warrior mentality, a warrior spirit about me.
I haven't eaten fried food in 7 years.
If you compete against me, you'd better be prepared to give up your life because I'm ready to give up mine.
Cheese is Satan's condiment.
So I feel like there's a backlash. There's a backlash.
And look, you know how I feel about this, okay? And I know I keep going back here. But if there's no Garoppolo, I don't think any of this bothers people. Because I think for the first time, Tom Brady cost the Patriots something. And it's Garoppolo.
And it ultimately won't matter because this game's going to take place on Saturday and the Pats are going to roll and then this is going to happen on Monday.
I mean, this is, you take this to the bank. They're going to win 36-10. And on Monday, you're going to get this all day.
Oh, so much for turmoil, Felger and Matt. Don't you guys feel stupid talking about all the things that are tearing this team apart?
I mean, you guarantee it.
For two straight weeks, you guys were like TMZ talking about what was going on behind the scenes. How good did he play? Mike, how good did he play? Tony, come. How good did he play?
Yeah, you gotta call me Matt.
Matt, how you wouldn't shut up about it.
Don't you feel stupid, Matt?
They're gonna be up 17-0 in the first quarter, and if you flip on Twitter, that's what you get.
Oh, Felger and Maz, where's your pole now?
Oh, you know, guaranteed, that's what's happening.
Let's ask the same question on Monday. Do you feel better or worse about Tom Brady than you did?
Oh, Murray, it's perfect.
Felger and Maz.